This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you are joining us today for this very special episode. We are going to talk today about joy that cannot be stolen. And maybe that you're listening thinking, yep, I know about joy that has been stolen. And so I'm excited for our guest and what she has to share with us about joy that cannot be stolen, no matter what our circumstances bring our way. And so let me introduce to you our guest today, Miss Susie Eller. Susie, how are you today?
You know what? I'm doing great. Being with you has made this day start out really awesome.
Oh, well, that makes me smile. And Susie and I have a friendship that goes back years, and while we're recording this right now, I can't see Susie's face, but I am smiling thinking about her sweet smiling face, and so I know that you are going to love her. Let me, for those of you who are meeting Susie for the first time, let me tell you a little more about her. Susie Eller is a best-selling author, podcaster, and she's frequently listed as a top 100 Christian women blogger. She's an international speaker and Bible teacher, and she ministers to women across the U.S. and in several countries. Susie has written 10 books, including her latest called Joy Keeper, which launched in 2020. And we're going to talk a lot more about Joy Keeper on the show today. But she's also a co-host, along with Holly Girth and Jennifer Watson, of More Than Small Talk podcast, which I love that name, More Than Small Talk. And then probably what Susie really has been waiting for me to get to is that she's mom to three grown children and their spouses. She's wife to Richard and gaga to six beautiful littles under the age of eight. When Susie isn't writing, she's with her family, hiking, cycling, kayaking, dancing with her littles at the farmer's market, filling the kitchen with her love language of cooking, and holding conversations of faith around the table. Susie, I love everything about what I just read, and we're so thankful to have kind of invite you to our table to have a conversation of faith today. So thank you for being here.
Thanks. And you know, it was funny listening to that because all of that is true, especially the dancing in the farmer's market. My oldest little is now actually 11, and which is crazy to me because you know, it feels like they're growing up right in front of my eyes.
Mm-hmm. And so Gaga is your grandmother name, I'm assuming.
You know, I didn't choose it. Okay. I didn't. My first one gave it to me, and I don't care what they call me, as long as they call me. She is actually the oldest who gave that to me. She's grown out of that now and just simply calls me Susie because she's, you know, she's 11. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I'm Gaga to the rest.
Mm, I love that. And I remember, so my sister and I were the oldest grandchildren, and we named our papa. And so his name, I mean, we still call him Papa today, but we named him, and it was just what we called him. And it so it stuck, and he's been Papa ever since. So it's kind of that, if you're the first grandkid, you kind of get to call the grandparents whatever you feel like calling them.
You do.
And
you
listen, I mean, my oldest child right now is 16, and we have already had discussions about grandparent names. And I know we're way ahead of ourselves, but we've already talked about it. So we'll see. One of these days I'm going to get to talk about my grandmother name, but not yet. We're going to give that a few more years, at least, hopefully.
And then, yeah. And Katie, you do get to talk about it. You don't necessarily get to choose it.
That's good to know.
So yeah. So it is fun. I was going to be grandma, just plain old grandma. And that it just didn't stick. So Gaga has become a really sweet name.
I love it. I think it's a great name. So we're for that. And we'll call you Susie for today. Well, on the podcast today, we'll call you Susie. But, you know, I want to circle back because I asked you, you know, we started, how are you today? And you're, yeah, I'm doing good. But I know that man, you have walked through a lot over the last several years, as we all have. You know, we've all walked through some really unprecedented things over the last few years. But I know even in your life, there have been extra things. And so here we are, and we're on this podcast, and you were the one who said, let's talk about joy that cannot be stolen. But I know that from your perspective, that has been something I feel like you have really had to walk through and learn as you've faced situations that, quite frankly, threaten to steal your joy. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about that.
Sure. You know, Katie, over the last 2.5 years, I've just been in a place of, you know how when you feel like you're just about out of something really, really hard, and then something else just sucker punches you. I've been in that place for about 2.5 years, unasked for, unwanted things coming my way. And it really, I begin to look at the things that we say to people during times like that. We say things like, you know, just tap into joy, or just choose joy. And we say that to people who got up that morning and they chose to get up. They're choosing to face the day. They're choosing to embrace the good of that day. They're choosing to embrace their faith. But joy seems a million miles away. And so what I came to understand is that joy is more than a feeling. It's not something we necessarily choose. Joy is a knowing. It's getting up that day and knowing who I am, knowing where to turn, knowing who God is, knowing the joy stealers that I'm going to face that day, and knowing how to face those joy stealers with truth that will take me through that day. And so what it becomes is, rather than joy tied to my circumstances, it becomes joy that cannot be taken from me, because it is so much deeper than that.
I love what you said. I'm writing it down. Joy is more than a feeling. It's a knowing. And boy, are those two different things. Because I appreciate you acknowledging the fact that we don't always feel it. And I'm probably not going to say this right, but I think you'll know what I mean. It feels like we should feel joy. Like the word feels like it should be a feeling.
I agree with you. And it's why we have hats that say choose joy. Right. It's why we wear the wristbands that say choose joy. And you know what? Those are beautiful sayings. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the fire, when you're in the trenches, what you're choosing that day is to believe that God is who he says he is. Mm-hmm. You're choosing to believe that his plans for you have not changed, have not disappeared into thin air. You're choosing to believe that God cares about how you feel, that God is aware of who you're becoming in spite of your circumstances, that God is your safe place. I mean, I begin to dig in, and I did, because, you know, as I wrote the book, Joy Keeper, which is where this premise came from, we were in a situation where sorrow and joy were waltzing together. Mm-hmm. And I was having to dig into that concept of joy, because sorrow was real. And then later, when the book released, I didn't realize it, but I was getting ready to walk into it again, into that place of trust again. And I'm there now, 2.5 years later. So what I started to look into is just to say, God, okay, if joy is tied to my circumstances, then there's not going to be joy. Mm-hmm. But if joy is more than a feeling and it's a knowing, what does that look like? And I started to study this concept of biblical joy. And one of the definitions that came up scripturally was that joy is intentionally walking into the goodness of God. And wherever you're at, So whether that was sitting in an ICU as my husband was having open heart surgery, we had walked 5 miles the night before. My husband was healthy. And yet here we found ourselves, and he was having open heart surgery because a genetic defect had raised its ugly head, and my husband was having a massive heart attack. And I'm sitting in the ICU. I could cry out, choose joy, choose joy, choose joy, all I wanted.
Right.
But in that moment, instead, it was choose God, choose faith, choose hope, you know, choose what I know to be true right now. And later on, when I went through my second bout with breast cancer, same thing, in the midst of a pandemic, going through the doors alone to have surgeries, you know, choose joy, choose joy. No, that's bonk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm being really honest with you, because that puts a burden on a woman who is in the trenches or who is in the fire, and you're saying to her, choose joy. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that? Mm-hmm. And yet, when I began to say, okay, God, this is what I know. This is what I know in this moment. This is the truth. And Lord, not only that, this is the joy stealer that is hitting me right now. And how do I come at that with biblical truth? How do I walk intentionally into your goodness right now in this moment? But I want to say one more thing, Katie. We're talking about hard circumstances, and I'm going to tell you that there are women who are listening right now who are in the best seasons of their life, mm-hmm. and joy is being stolen from them because they're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yep.
They cannot enjoy where they're at right now because of this lie that says at any moment your joy is going to be stolen from you.
Hmm. Because the joy is tied to the circumstances. And so even when the circumstances aren't stealing your joy, you're afraid of the ones that may come and, quote, steal it. I understand that so well. You know, I wrote a Bible study called She Smiles Without Fear. And one of the things that we talked about is just our tendency to focus on the future. And it's not even always that we'll fear the future. It's that we, but we're still looking ahead to it. And when we're looking ahead to it, it alters what we're doing in the present. And so I totally understand with where you're going with that, because so often we'll say, like, we'll listen to your story and say, well, why wouldn't that be me? You know, why wouldn't that be around the corner for me? And we'll fear the surprise uncertainties, you know, similar to what you described with Richard. And we'll lose today because we're afraid of what might happen tomorrow.
Or in the next 5 minutes.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? It steals your joy today. It steals your joy right now. So I begin to look at these joy stealers. And one of the truths that I found about joy is that God is greater. God's goodness is greater. And that sounds really pithy and an awesome statement. So I want to go deeper than just a statement. I want to really dig deep into this. So in this last 2.5 years, I'm in full-time ministry. It's a calling on my heart. It's something that brings me great joy, something that I love. And yet, due to a pandemic, due to 4 surgeries for breast cancer, which I'm on the other side of it and I am good, but it's been 1.5 years. And so in the midst of that, the lie or the joy stealer that might come at you is that somehow, because of your circumstances, that God's plan for you has changed, that it's not valid, that he can't use you. And when I look at the truth that God is God and I am not, the truth is if God spoke it over my heart, it may not look like what I think it will, but it goes on. And so there were times I begin to look and I would ask the Lord every day. So I asked God one simple question every single day. What can I do to bring you joy, Lord? What can I do to bring you joy right where I am, right where I am? And I began to see how God was working even right where I was. one day we were in the hospital and I was sitting with Richard, and this was right before the pandemic hit, so you could still have visitors. And a woman came to see us. She had seen on Facebook that we were going through what we were going through. And I had 3 days before Richard had his heart attack, found out that I had breast cancer again. And so she came and she walked through the door, and her first words were, "I don't get it. Like, I don't get it." And I hadn't seen this woman in years. And she said, "I'm angry. Like, you guys have done everything right, and here you are, and this is stupid, and I am mad." I mean, she was just being so honest. I loved it. But anyway, so we sat down and I began to talk to her, and we just began to talk about the goodness of God right where we were at, not based on our circumstances, but based on who He is and who He is to us. And she walked out of that room later, and I knew that she and God had found their way back to a starting point in a conversation where she could feel Him again. And I thought, okay, that's ministry. Mm-hmm. God, I'm not on this stage. I don't have a microphone in my hand. I'm not writing a book. That's ministry. That's the gospel going forward in room 101A. You know, and everything that you have spoken over our lives is still true. And so that is one thing to understand, that if God has spoken it, it may look different, but it hasn't gone anywhere.
And Susie, I would love for you, for the woman who's listening and she's saying, you know what? I love that definition of joy is intentionally walking into the goodness of God. And I love what you're saying about how no matter what my circumstances are, I can focus on the truth of who God is and His goodness right now. But where do I find those truths? Like, what do those sound like? What do they look like? How do I hold on to those? Because if you'll go a little further into, like, what are those things that when you say the goodness of God right now, because so often when we are facing desperate circumstances, all we see is our desperateness. And so tell me more about the goodness of God in those situations and those truths that you have held on to and that you told that woman about.
Yeah. So a couple of things that I do that are very practical is I give myself permission to feel. I lean into it, because our feelings are indicators of the places that God wants to inhabit. And so I give myself permission. I don't stuff it down. I don't push it down. I don't call that faith. Faith is wrestling. Faith is truth. Faith is intimacy. So I ask myself, what do I feel right now? And I share that with God. God, I feel clueless. God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm not sure why this is happening again. And I make space for that, because when we keep our feelings inside, they create a room of their own. But when I make room for honesty, I'm not just giving myself permission to feel. I'm giving myself permission to heal. And so they don't need that room on the inside of us anymore. I've made room for God to come in. I've made room for honesty. I've made room for grief, made room for loss. And sorrow and joy are actually a beautiful thing. They're woven all throughout Scripture. That once I acknowledge what I feel, then I step into what I know. This is what I know to be true. Maybe it's based on Scripture. Maybe it's based on an encounter with Christ in the past. Maybe it's based on when I reach for Him in that moment, what I feel through the power of the Holy Spirit in that moment. One of my favorite verses is Romans 8, 26 through 27. And basically it's talking about when you don't have the words, and we find ourselves without words in those places where joy is absent, but that the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us already understands the Father's heart over us. And so all we have to do is show up. This is what I feel. And then we began with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us to say, and this is what I know. So that honesty in our relationship, it breaks this cycle, Katie, because when we try to hide our feelings, they're still there. And when we try to hide them, it makes us feel we're not doing this right somehow because we're still grappling with it. And that can cause us to distance ourselves from God when we need him the most, which makes us feel more out of control. And so to meet that joy stealer, which is trying to control things only to feel more out of control, we step into a joy keeper truth is, which is instead of trying to be something that I'm not, I'm going to allow God to be who he is in that moment, in that season. And it's okay to say to the Lord, I'm not strong enough in this moment. But what I know is that you are.
And let me ask you this.
I lean into that. Yeah.
When you do, okay, so I actually have two questions. One is when you give yourself permission to feel, is that speaking out loud in prayer? Is that writing? Is that sharing with someone? Is it all of the above?
It's all of it.
Okay. And then when you say it's all of it, it leads me to believe it's a process. It's not necessarily, and that was going to lead into my next question is, and I see this, do I see this in my life? You know, like I prayed it. Where's my answer? I should feel different right now. And I see it in my children's life. You know, we pray about something and then we say amen. And they're like, okay, but my ear still hurts. We just asked my ear to stop hurting. Why does it still hurt? You know? And so I'd love for you to speak to that as well. Like when you, because I'm listening and I'm thinking that it might not always be immediate that you give yourself permission to feel, and it is in those places that you begin to heal by the grace of God. But what does that look like immediately after you've given, or is it even you continually give yourself permission to feel? Because I would also imagine that just because you give yourself permission to feel for 5 minutes on one day, that doesn't mean that you don't still feel that way the next day. So take me a little more into that process.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because that again goes back to joy is more than a feeling. It's a knowing. And I think about the story of the three men in the fiery furnace. And wouldn't it be interesting if while those men were in the fire, that there were a group of people standing around saying, choose joy, choose joy, brother. Choose joy. What did they feel? They felt the fire. They felt that they had done everything right. And yet everything wrong was happening in the moment. And so in that moment, choose joy or even choose water. Choose water, brother. Choose water. Well, they couldn't. And so they turned around and in the midst of the fire, they saw a man who appeared to be as the Son of Man. And it works the same way in our own lives, is that please don't beat yourself up that you feel the fire. Please don't beat yourself up that you can't bring the water from heaven. Please don't beat yourself up that you can't choose joy in that moment. But give yourself so much grace and mercy as you reach for the Son of the Man, the Son of Man in the midst of fire. Because maybe you don't feel him in the beginning. Maybe you don't see him in the beginning. But I promise you this, because this is what we know, is that he is present. That he cares about how you feel. That he is a safe place in the midst of the fire. And those are the things. Because we tend to, our feelings matter. They matter to God. You know, we were created to feel. God not only cares about how we feel, he created us to feel. There's value in how we feel. But transitioning from feeling to knowing for me, and I'm just going to be in my own, there were times that that came as I was sitting and I'm writing and journaling. And maybe I didn't have any words that day. But I sat in one scripture until it became true. or I sat in a scripture until that scripture transitioned into a prayer. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that was a day that somebody came my way in mm-hmm. a time when it was bleak. And like I said, this can happen even when things are good. But somebody said just the right word. Just the other day, I was sitting in church, and as I shared, we're walking through yet another season of unwanted. It's because of things like this. I was sitting in church. We're social distancing still, so somebody's, 6 feet away from me, but she comes behind me and mask to mask, she says, "Susie, I just need to share something with you. Like, please don't think this is weird, but I can't get away from it." And she shared something with me that was exactly what I needed to hear for that day. Mm-hmm. And God uses his people. Sometimes our people, God's people can discourage us, but many times God uses his people to encourage us in just the right moment. And then there were times, Katie, that I would sit outside in my car and the Lord and I would just talk and there would be an encounter with him or not. Mm. Maybe I just left it there because Matthew 6:8 says that when we talk to God, he knows what we need before we even say a word. Mm. He understands what we need. So we don't even have to have the right words. We just need to show up mm-hmm. and understand that as we begin to speak the words, God hears our heart, even when we don't have the words to say. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely that line of knowing. Mm-hmm. So to your daughter or your child, son or daughter, who says, "My ear still hurts," that's real. Mm-hmm. That's real. My brother is still sick. Mm-hmm. I have a brother that's very sick right now. He's still sick. So in the midst of that fire where we can't choose water and we can't choose joy and we can't choose what happens next, number one, how, God, can I bring joy to you today? But also, how can I become a joy noticer and see you working right where I'm at as this miracle unfolds, or as the miracle that doesn't look anything like the miracle I want it to be unfolds in my heart and life?
As I'm listening to you, another thing that I'm thinking is that so often in these situations, you refer to the men and the fiery furnace, and that story is found in the book of Daniel, specifically chapter 3. And even your situations, and I know that the listeners, you have your own situations that you're thinking about right now. And so often we feel alone in those situations. Yeah. And I think sometimes, Susie, I don't know if you've encountered this, but I know for me, I feel like I'm the only one in the world who's ever felt like I feel, especially as a Christian woman. I'm like, surely no one has ever felt as discouraged as I feel right now. Surely no one has felt as unable to choose joy as I feel right now. And so what I hope is that as you've been listening, you're encouraged to, at the very least, know that there are other Christian women in this world who understand exactly how you feel and understand it in very real ways. And you're not alone. You're not alone in those feelings. And I love what you said. We just kind of breezed right by it, but it was that faith is wrestling. Faith isn't not feeling. And so there's almost permission there to wrestle with it, And so anyway, I am so thankful for your willingness to share from such difficult circumstances, and really even a difficult topic, I think, because you've mentioned it. There is sometimes guilt that comes with going like, "I don't feel joyful today." And then you feel guilty because you don't feel joyful or things like that. And you've just been so real and transparent with the realities of this, of joy that can't be stolen. And yet, in the midst of the realities, there's hope for joy because of who God is and that he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Susie, as we close, go right ahead.
I'm probably going to answer the question that you're getting ready to ask. The one thing that I would love for a woman to realize today who is in that wrestling is that one joy stealer is to feel like that we have to make ourselves lovable to a God who already loves us like crazy. And so I would say to you that if you're wrestling, welcome to the club. We all wrestle in our faith. We all wrestle with those feelings. And it doesn't make you bad. It makes you human, and you are so loved and so seen by God. So in those moments, you depend on the truth that God is a shelter for you as you wrestle. And he invites us to come without shame into his presence and to share those feelings and to ask for what we need. So that's just my last thought.
Yes, and that you did. That's exactly what you knew what I was going to say before I said it. Oh, but that's just so beautiful. And I thank you so much for sharing that with us, Susie. You're so right. We don't have to present ourselves lovable to a God who already loves us. And I absolutely love that truth. Thank you so much. And for those of you listening, I just pray that as you were a part of our conversation today, that you heard something that you can take and apply today so that today can be your best day ever. Thanks for joining us.